Welcome back, everyone. Exodus 33 today, as we move into one of the most dramatic sections in all of Scripture. The Israelites remain in camp at the base of Mount Sinai, and Moses has descended the mountain to find them worshiping a golden calf. After wrestling through matters of justice and mercy, Moses made a plea for forgiveness, and the Lord finished the chapter with a directive. Now go, lead the people to the place I spoke of, and my angel will go before you. And that returns us to the heart of this whole book. The Exodus is a journey, and the Israelites are still a long ways from their destination.
So chapter 33 opens with directions to get up and go. But listen to the directions carefully. Watch the details. Verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Leave this place, you and the people you brought up out of Egypt, and go up to the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I will send an angel before you and drive out the Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go with you, because you are a stiff-necked people, and I might destroy you along the way." Did you catch it? You're still headed to the promised land. God's just not going with you. But don't worry, I'll send an angel to guide you. You'll be fine.
Now there is an interesting proposal. Let's think that over. What if God offered you that deal? You get the whole promised land, all the perks, all the milk and honey, blessings and goodies. Just one proviso. God's not there. He's not with us. And hey, this way you don't have to be holy. All that holiness stuff was for the tabernacle and for God's presence. This way, you get all the perks without the work. So, would you take it?
And why won't he go? Because they broke the covenant. Those two stones shattered at the base of the mountain represent a lot more than broken rocks. Moses broke the contract because the covenant was already broken. They broke relationship. God is saying, "Guys, let's not pretend here. You're just not that into me." So now the question is, will they take the offer? Verse 4. When the people heard these distressing words, they began to mourn, and no one put on any ornaments. Now there's a good start. The people mourn. There is no loss so great as the loss of God's presence.
The story seems to break off for a bit here. Like an argument where the emotions are too strong and the stakes too high to settle in the moment. And verse 7 tells us, "Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp, some distance away, calling it the Tent of Meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the Tent of Meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent."
So the Lord continues meeting Moses, but it's outside the camp. A phrase you may recognize from Hebrews 13. God's presence is there, but apart. If you've ever been around a married couple in a trial separation, you know what this feels like. Things are different.
In verse 9, as Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance, while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshipped, each at the entrance to their tent. So things are beginning to change. The pillar represents God's presence, albeit outside the camp. And the people are worshiping, though they remain in camp. But I do love this Tent of Meeting. It's not the tabernacle. That's not built yet. This is just a tent, but it's set up outside the camp so that Moses can get away from the people and just be with God. Sometimes you need that, especially when you don't have it at home.
Now watch the words in verse 11. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Now that's amazing. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face. How is that possible? And look at the words. as one speaks to a friend. That's incredible.
Scholars have pondered and argued this one for centuries. Some theorize that the Lord took human form, that this is some form of pre-incarnate Jesus, and that other interactions are with the Father. But theorize all you want. Moses just knows that he is meeting with the Lord face to face, like a friend.
And don't miss Joshua. Moses' assistant is right there with him. Now, we'll see him again later, but right here we get the early backstory on a spiritual giant. And it starts with a young man who would not leave the tent where God was found.
Back inside the tent, Moses has some frustration to vent. Verse 12, Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, 'Lead these people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." I love this prayer. You say you know me, Lord. You know me by name. Well, then you should know I can't do this alone. This is the heartfelt prayer of a desperate man called to lead God's people, but thoroughly aware that he cannot do it without the Lord's presence. And amen to that. And I love his request. Teach me your ways so I may know you. And that one last desperate reminder to God. These people aren't just my people. They're your people, Lord. I need you here. I need to know you care for them as your own. And in verse 14, the Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest."
And there it is. The Lord will indeed lead his people. He will be with Moses and will give him rest. Calm your worries, Moses. The Lord is with you. The Lord responds with compassion to a humble prayer that seeks him. But Moses' heart still has some venting to do. Verse 15. Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?"
This is so good. The Lord made the promise, but Moses wants to acknowledge that without God's presence, it's all worthless. And the same is true for us. We can pack the church, hit the lights, put on the show. But without God's presence, how is it different from anything else that the world offers?
And in verse 17, the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you, and I know you by name."
Twice now, we have this reminder that the Lord knows Moses by name. It's an amazing expression of closeness, of personal knowledge. I know you by name. And Moses responds with a very personal request for God. Verse 18, "Then Moses said, 'Now show me your glory.'" Wow. Now that's a big one. The glory of God, his greatness. The Hebrew word is kabod. It literally means weight. It's as if Moses is saying, "I've seen the burning bush. I've seen the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud that mark your presence. Now I want to see your substance, the full reality of you, Lord." Whatever Moses had experienced with God, he wanted more. Verse 19, "And the Lord said, 'I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion.'"
Moses asked for the glory of God to pass in front of him, but Moses doesn't know what he's asking for. And God responds. He offers to cause all his goodness to pass by, and he will proclaim his name, the revelation of his character and nature. But look at verse 20. "But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Whatever that face-to-face meeting was in the tent, this is something more, much more. This one is beyond you, Moses.
So God makes a plan in verse 21. Then the Lord said, There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. Now that's an interesting plan. Hide in the rock. I'll pass by and you will see my back. The word for back can also mean afterglow, or you might picture the afterburn of a jet engine. Basically, it's as much as Moses can handle without dying on the spot. And what a difference from the beginning of the chapter to the end. We began with the Lord's presence being removed from Israel, but the nation mourned, and Moses interceded and pursued God outside the camp. So what about you? Will you seek him, even if it means going outside the camp? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. What will Moses see? Can't hardly wait for chapter 34.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.